There's a wonderful book out as we go back to cricket, Bradman versus Bodyline. We go back even further to 1932 and 33, and I'm pleased to say that the author of this book, Roland Perry, is on the line. Good morning, Roland.
Good morning, Matt.
Now, we're going to talk about Bodyline in just a sec, but obviously as somebody who's invested so much time and effort and energy in cricket across the years, I'd love to get your thoughts on what's been happening around the Australian cricket team right now and Tim Payne stepping away from the game. It appears as though his national career is over.
It looks that way. And if you're asking me for an opinion, it's a real tough one, but my attitude is this, that some cricketers, I don't even know the full story on Payne, that'll come out, feel a bit entitled. It's being a star, even at test level, and they feel a bit entitled, and they do things like he did. Now, the judgment is off. He may well have learned from that mistake from 4 years ago, but it's a bit late and it's after the event, especially in this environment, Matt, we're all living in. You know, you can't cross the road without someone reporting you, you know. And I just feel it's probably the best thing for him to get out now. I don't think he'll come back. He's 36, and I don't think he'll come back. But sadly, not all the cricketers, but some of them make really dumb judgments. We've seen it with Shane Warne 20 years ago. I'm his biographer. You've just got to grow up and not do dumb things. That's kiddie stuff. 17, 16, 12-year-olds are doing it. So I know it's a new era, but it's just about judgment. I don't really concern myself with two consenting adults, but I just feel the judgment on a man like that, does he deserve to be captain of Australia and to be playing top cricket? That's the question you've got to ask.
And it's another bizarre yet fascinating chapter in Australian cricket. And I'm not sure if you're listening earlier, but I played my listeners the situation that unfolded in 1984 on this day when Kim Hughes resigned in tears. It was 26th of November, the second day. Yeah, the second day of the test up there at the Gabba. And he called the press conference on this day all of those years ago. So it's amazing how everything starts to line up in dates. Let's talk about Bodyline and Bradman v. Bodyline, the book that was released 3 weeks ago. Now, everybody focuses on this series of 1932-33, but you've got to go back, Roland, to 1930 to understand why. And the reason was that Sir Donald Bradman went over there to England and just plundered the runs. In the series, he racked up 974 runs at an average of 139.14. So by the time they got out here, they had to work out some way to stop that from happening again.
Yes, that's true. And it actually goes back further, Matt, and that's 28-29 when they came out and Bradman played his first series. He actually, he was a real bowler killer. He was what we call a targeter. We use that term now quite loosely, you know, about bowlers targeting batsmen in reverse. But Bradman went after Larwood and absolutely spifflicated him every time he faced him because he regarded him as the best bowler on the England side. And then he did it again in England. So he did it in the hot sun here. I think Larwood got about one wicket, didn't get his wicket. Got a very low, very bad performance for that series, Larwood, compared to what he is. I mean, he was a great bowler. And then Bradman did it again in front of the home crowds, which was really embarrassing for people like Larwood, who said they would not come out to Australia unless they had that particular weapon, which had been used greatly by Arthur Carr at Nottingham, for whom Larwood played with Bill Vose, a big left-hander. So they had a fantastic right-hand-left-hand combination. It's such a wear and tear on the body, you know, thumping your right shoulder, if you're a right-hander, of course, and getting that ball to lift up. It exhausts them after two overs or three overs. And so you've got to use it sparingly, and Arthur Carr did that. He handed on the method to Jardine, Douglas Jardine, who everyone thinks is a culprit. Well, he won the series. He was outside the spirit of the game. And the idea was, the basic idea was to hurt physically and mentally, but particularly physically, Don Bradman. And that was the aim. And, of course, it reflected on all the batsmen. They all copped it. Even the great Stan McCabe, who made 187 in the first game, was completely debilitated for the rest of the series and averaged about 23 for the rest of the series. And all the batsmen, and not only did they had lower averages, they didn't score quickly. They were talking 29 runs per 100 balls for some of the great, you know, Victor Richardson, for example, couldn't get going because the ball, you can't hit the ball if it's coming up into your rib cage. So Bradman found a way, and he just worked it out beforehand. pull away from the wicket, effectively what we'd say playing 2020 cricket today. He averaged 56.57 at a real clip. I mean, he was doing 75 to 80 runs per 100 balls, sort of up there with Adam Gilchrist. It didn't work because he only averaged that, and it was half what he normally averaged, roughly. So the Poms won 4-1, but it so destroyed the game. I found it fascinating to go deep into what was happening when we were asked, if we were being beaten, or we were 1-1 at one point, to bring in Eddie Gilbert from the Indigenous player from Queensland, yes, who was the quickest Brabman ever faced, and Laurie Nash, an Australian rules footballer who makes Merv Hughes look like a schoolgirl, a young schoolgirl by comparison. Really tough guy, Laurie, fantastic footballer for the Swans. And Brabman was asked, and this is a typical Brabman response, very cool. He said, if you're picking them on merit, that's one thing. If you're picking them to retaliate against bodyline, no. Now, he wasn't a selector. He was just asked because he was Bradman. And half of the team wanted us to fight back. The other half said, no, we shouldn't do that. It'll end up rollerball. I mean, that's my phrase. It'll end up just trying to smash each other. And, of course, that was after the event, realised that was what was going to happen. The West Indies took a couple of real quicks to England and beat up the Poms with body lines. And then the one I laughed at, and I love to cover it because no one else did, Jardine took a team to India, and what did he do, Matt? Can you guess?
Shorted at him?
He used body line and beat up the Indians. So I wanted to be in the story.
And you mentioned the villain there in this piece, and everybody who knows this story knows the role that Harold Larwood played, and of course the role that Douglas Jardine played. And I'm glad that you took us back to 28-29 because Jardine came out here for that, and he was scoring runs, wasn't he? I think he got three consecutive centuries, but the Aussie crowd just didn't like him. He was a slow player, he was awkward, he wore weird headgear, he had a different cap. And so by the time that they came back, not only were they trying to stop Bradman and the runs from coming, but he had a personal vendetta as well. Is it true that they arranged a meeting at the Piccadilly Hotel to discuss this plan?
Absolutely.
Is that where it was born?
It wasn't born then because it was Arthur Carr was at that meeting and he had Bill Vose and Harold Larwood with him. And Jardine wanted to ask, were they both prepared to virtually obliterate Bradman to really go for him, and they said yes. It's been a euphemistically handled meeting completely. But Harold said, "I'm not going unless I can use it at least to try something to stop him." Harold was badly used in the 28-29 series because he was bowling on hard pitches and over bowled, and he was pretty useless. And Bradman went after him big time and knocked him out around all the time. We're talking 17 matches between the two before bodyline, and Brabham probably, I worked out, 25 times sent him into the outfield, humiliated after belting him. When I say belting him, I'm talking about, say, 2 fours in an over, just completely eclipsing him. And you can imagine the best bowler they had feeling that way. So it was handed to Jardine. Even the theatrics of clapping the hands above the head and six players like robots coming into position around the bat on the leg side, that was all rehearsed and ready to go. And what Jardine had to do was to talk all his bowlers, if he could, except the spinners, of course, to use it. And he had a lot of pushback from it. Bill Bowes said no. He was a Yorkshireman with a strong sense of being a Yorkshireman, said, no, I'll bowl the way I want with my fields. And also Wally Hammond was worried about it, and Gubby Allen, the captain, said, I'm not going to bowl body line. You can go to somewhere else, you know. So Jardine was ruling with an iron fist.
Just incredible. You see that clap, it's almost like you're there watching it in black and white. The clap comes and like you say, they all go into place and the intimidation starts. It's one of the most interesting and compelling stories, I think, or series in Ashes history, no doubt about it. Bradman versus Bodyline is the book. Roland Perry is the author. We appreciate your time this morning. Thanks, Roland.
Thank you, Matt. It'll make a really good Christmas present, won't it?
Absolutely. Nice. We love a plug here, mate. Good on you, Roland. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, mate.
In fact, I can tell you that Ben Horne is now reporting that Pat Cummins has won the race to be Australia's next test captain. Steve Smith will be his vice captain. So that news breaking right now. A huge day in cricket news. Tim Payne stepping aside indefinitely. Pat Cummins has reportedly won the race to be our next test captain, and Steve Smith is back in a leadership role. He will be appointed vice captain. 0457 736 736. Let me know your thoughts or give us a call on the open line 1300 01 1170.